I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know that you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner. Condemned to death, he took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Praise God, amen.
How could I boast of anything that I'd ever seen or done? How could I dare claim as my own the victories my Jesus has won? Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner. Took my place. Now I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Oh, I live and breathe in freedom. With each breath of life I take, loved and forgiven, I'm back with the living. I'm just a sinner saved by grace,
saved by grace. Hallelujah, praise God, amen. Don't you just love that song? What a message, huh? Amen. I'm just. Those first two words say it all. I'm just. A lot of people look at themselves and they think there's something hot and fancy and, you know, there's something special. But, you know, when you stand in the presence of God, you're just. They kind of bust you down a notch. You're just. You're just a sinner saved by grace, but praise God, you're just. That means you're justified. Amen. And you know what justified means? It means just as if I'd never done it. Amen. That's what justified means. It means just as if I'd never done it. Amen. So I'm just a sinner. Amen. I'm a just sinner. Amen. My sins are justified by the cross of Calvary. Praise God. Amen. If you have your Bibles tonight, you'd open them, please, to Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1. We're going to read through verse 13, standing in honor of the reading of God's Word. And tonight I read from the King James text. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Master, we thank you, God, tonight for your word. We ask you, Lord, to quicken it in our spirit. Help it, God, to be delivered in a manner that would bring forth honor and glory to your name. Lord, you've given me a word for this hour. There are people outside of this building right at this moment that very well may be listening to every word we're saying. And God, today, outside of your anointing, there's not anything I could say to help anyone, lost or saved, in or outside of the fold of safety. Master, tonight, allow your anointing and your presence to ride upon us and rest upon us. Help us, God, to speak the word of God with boldness and power, that it might accomplish that for which it is sent forth. For we ask it today in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God and amen. There are a lot of parables in Scripture, not parables, but there are a lot of things the Lord uses to help illustrate. How about if we use, instead of parables, illustrations? There are a lot of illustrations in Scripture that the Lord uses to help us understand the nature of His coming, and to help us understand the need for readiness, the need for understanding that when the Lord comes back, my friend, He is not coming back for those who are ill-prepared. He is coming back for those who are well-prepared, those who are waiting. My Bible said He is coming back for those who are looking for His appearing. Hallelujah. There are a lot of people playing religion in the city of Dallas tonight, and they're playing a great big game, and they go to church on Sunday, and they play the little game, or they go to synagogue on Saturday, and they play their little game. But the reality is, they're not expecting anything. They're not looking for anything. They don't really believe anything. And children tonight, those people will not go anywhere when the trumpet blows, because the Lord is coming for those who are prepared and who are waiting and who are looking. Amen. Many a sermon today has been preached claiming that the oil represented in the story that I've read to you tonight speaks of the Holy Ghost. I remember growing up in the Pentecostal church, if I heard this portion of Scripture preached once, I've heard it preached a million times. And every time I've heard it preached, the oil is said to represent the Holy Ghost. You've got to be full of the Holy Ghost. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost when the Lord comes, you'll not be ready to go. You'll not be ready to go up. And many preachers will say, you know, after all, the Holy Spirit is symbolized by oil. And yes, this is true. The Holy Spirit is often symbolized by oil, especially in the Old Testament when kings and prophets were anointed. They were anointed with oil, and that was representative of the Spirit of God on their life, which is why they used oil. But I want you to know today, I do not believe today that this particular illustration is trying to tell us so much that we need to be full of the Holy Ghost, so much as I believe it's trying to tell us something else that is equally, if not more, important. Amen. I don't believe the Holy Ghost concept works in this specific analogy. I don't believe it works with this particular story. And I'll tell you why I don't believe it works, and I'll tell you what I believe does work. My reasons are simple. They're threefold. Number one, oil in this story that we've read tonight is represented as something specifically necessary to providing light. In verses 7 and 8, we read, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." So we're told in this story that the oil is important to and necessary for light. Well, the Word of God tells us in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Amen. So therefore, I believe line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, I believe we could better look elsewhere in Scripture and understand that perhaps when we see the need for oil, we're seeing the need for the Word of God in our lives. Amen. Matthew 5, verses 14 through 16, Jesus said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Here we find out that while the Word of God may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, as New Testament believers, as people of God, we have become the light of the world. We have become the source of light that is able to cause darkness to flee. We have become a source of illumination so that others might see the glory of God by the goodness in the deeds that we do and the way that we live our lives. Why is that? Is that because the Word of God is no longer the light, but suddenly we have become the light in place of the Word of God? No. Let me tell you what James says in James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Now suddenly, God's word in the Old Testament, Psalm 119, 105, and God's word in the New Testament, Matthew 5, 14 through 16, come together and make perfect sense. Because what Jesus is saying is, you can read the Word of God until you turn blue, but until you begin to live the Word of God, it has none effect in you. It has no effect on you. It doesn't change anything about you. But when you live the Word of God, you become the light of the world, because the light of God is the Word of God, and the Word of God is able to illuminate the path upon which you walk. So you see, we put two and two together and we realize what the Bible is telling us is that the light that is so necessary, the light that we need, is provided by reason of God's Word. The oil tonight that we're reading about, that these virgins, some had, some did not, I don't believe it was the Holy Ghost they're talking about. I believe it was something more. Amen. But now you got to listen to me. You got to listen real careful now, because y'all know I like to pull some real wingers. I don't believe that the oil is the Word of God. I don't believe the oil is living the Word of God. I believe that the lamp is the Word of God. That the oil is what makes the lamp work. Hello now. Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet. He didn't say it's oil in my lamp. He said it's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. But for a lamp to work, you got to have oil. So a lot of people tonight walking into churches, they got Bibles, they got the Word. Yeah, bless God, but you know what? They haven't got no oil nowhere. They haven't got what it takes to make this thing work. They don't have what it takes to make this thing glow in the dark and illuminate the dark places. They don't have what it takes to make this thing suddenly come to life in their spirit and make them live and walk differently than they did before they were converted. Because the oil that the Lord was telling us with the story of these 10 virgins, the oil, my friend, was not the Word of God. No, the Word of God's the lamp. It's not the oil. But now listen, we also understand through this allegory tonight that oil is represented as a consistent necessity. If you look at the verses 2 through 5 of our primary text, there were 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom, and 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. What good is a lamp without oil? It's no good. Amen. What good is an automobile without fuel in the tank? You can have the prettiest car in town. You can have the most luxurious vehicle on wheels. But honey, if there ain't no gasoline in it, it ain't going nowhere. What good is an air conditioner in summertime if you don't plug it in? Because without electricity, that air conditioner is worthless to you. Am I telling the truth tonight? Amen. So therefore, the oil that we're reading about tonight is something that is constantly necessary. Why is it constantly necessary? Well, once you buy it, you ought to be done with it, right? No. You got to keep buying it. Why? Because you use it as you go. Amen. And the oil that we're reading about tonight, that the Lord is speaking of in His allegory of the 10 virgins, this oil is oil that isn't simply there because it's supposed to be there. If you use it up, it's gone and you need more. Amen. Well, I want you to know today, the Word of God says in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. You see, we are ever constantly needing something in our lives that comes from God if we're going to make it through this life, because it is not in a man to direct his own steps. It is not in a man to guide his own life. It is not in a man's ability or a woman's ability to make their own choices and be certain that the choices they're making are the right ones. We need something to help that lamp work. We need something to help that Word of God in our lives as Christians and as believers work. What is it that we need? Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want you to know tonight, the lamp that we read about is the Word of God. Tonight, the oil that we read about is faith. And faith is something the Bible said we live faith to faith.
Sometimes you wear it out. Sometimes you're without it. Sometimes you don't have any. And you got to go back to the house of God and buy some more. Glory to God. You got to get back up under the preacher and you got to buy some more. You got to get to where the oil is and buy some. Because, honey, that's the way it's done.
A lot of people are going to be running into the church house 10 minutes after the rapture, wanting the preacher to preach them some oil, and there will be no oil to be found. Whew. Because the merchant of that oil, the guy who for 13 years has been peddling that oil to the GLBT communities of New York and New Haven and Atlanta and Dallas, that merchant is no longer going to be in town selling it, honey, because he had enough sense to have oil in his own lap. So when the call came, hey, the bridegroom cometh, he was able to trim his lamp and see his way and get to where the bridegroom was. Glory to God. Oh, I want you to know oil is represented in our story tonight as something that must be attained from another source. Did you notice in verses 9 and 10 it said, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather unto them that sell, and buy for yourself. You see, faith is something that must be attained from another source. Amen. Listen, Romans chapter 10, verses 12 through 17. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Talking about faith. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All these knuckleheads tonight that want to tell you I can be a Christian and I don't have to be in God's house. I can be a Christian and I don't have to go to church. Honey, you're lying to yourself. You're believing a deceit from the devil. You're believing a lie. You need to go where the oil is for sale. You need to go where the oil can be purchased. You need to go where the oil, hallelujah, is available. Glory to God. God has established himself that we go to a vendor, as it were, to purchase faith if we're going to have what we need to carry us through from week to week. We can't get it by ourselves. And if we think we can, we're nothing short of foolish. We're one of those foolish little girls who thought, well, I can get it when I need it. Well, when the need comes, I'll just run and grab it right quick. No. Faith is a substance you need to get hold of and maintain all the time. You need to have all constantly at the ready. If you look at our original text tonight and the original story, listen to this. The Bible tells us in verse 3 and 4, they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, why didn't it say they just took empty lamps? Listen, I'll tell you why. Because in verse 4 it said, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. What does that mean? That means, Tommy, that the wise had additional vessels that they carried oil in so that when the lamp wore out and the
flame had flickered down, they had more oil to pour into the lamp to keep it burning. They had extra. They had reserves. You don't run at the last second to get what you need. If you're smart, you're going to be in the house of God where the oil is flowing. Hallelujah. And you're going to get what you need every day, but you're also going to have more in reserve so that when you're not in the house of God, you'll still have oil you can pour into your lamp to keep it burning.
Amen. Lord, have mercy. I'll tell you what. So many people want to live out this Christianity like it's a game. It ain't a game. It's nothing to play with. I want you to know today, God has said in Proverbs 23 and 23, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. What were the five virgins called out of the ten who had oil and brought oil? Why? Because you're not supposed to just have enough sense to buy the truth. But honey, also wisdom, glory to God. You ought to have enough wisdom to know I need to be in church on Sunday. You ought to have enough wisdom to know I need to be in Bible study on Wednesday. You ought to have enough wisdom to know I cannot make it through this life without the Word of God being infused into my spirit by the anointed preaching of my pastor.
Isn't it funny? The Word of God said, buy the truth and sell it not. Truth will cost you something. Truth is going to cost you something. Folks who want effortless religion are oblivious to the benefits of effort when it comes to attaining a closer walk with the Lord. People that want, you know, oh, I want religion effort free. I don't want to have to get up on Sunday morning and go to church. I don't want to have to go to church on Sunday night. Oh my God, when I'm tired on Wednesday, I want to just be able to go home and rest and sleep and not have to worry about going to Bible study. I want my religion and my spirituality to be effort-free. But God said, buy the truth. It's going to cost you something.
And people that think you can get something for nothing are the ones who usually wind up with nothing for something. Listen, Elijah climbed up Mount Carmel. That took effort. And he took on the false prophets of Baal. On that mountain, after building an altar, Elijah saw God move in the most dramatic and wonderful way ever witnessed by mankind. But before Elijah ever saw fire fall from heaven, he had to get out there and get busy. He had to climb a mountain. He had to build an altar. He had to slay a sacrifice. Come on now. It takes work. Truth will cost you something. But if you'll put forth the effort, the benefits are far greater than anything that you might ever imagine. Amen.
Moses climbed up Mount Sinai and met with the Lord in the symbolic presence of the burning fiery bush. There it was that he received his orders from the Lord, which would cause him to become the greatest man of God ever known to the nation and people of Israel. Not Abraham their father, but Moses their prophet, who saw God face to face. Hallelujah!
But first he had to climb Sinai. Amen. First he had to put the effort in. First he had to put himself out, Tommy, because God didn't put the burning fiery bush down in the middle of the valley and make it easy on Moses.
No! Truth will cost you something, but it's worth buying. And once you get it, don't you sell it.
Abraham climbed the mountain with his only son and saw the Lord miraculously provide a sacrifice in Isaac's stead. But first Abraham had to climb that mountain, carrying wood for the fire, carrying a dagger to kill the sacrifice, First, Abraham had to put forth the effort to get up to the top of that mountain, because truth will cost you something. But the effort necessary is so worth it in the end, because that's, look at how these people of God, the great things they saw, because they climbed, because they put forth the effort. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. Noah had to build an ark. For 100 years he built an ark. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of effort. That's a lot of sweat. That's a lot of energy he burned. But Noah did what he was supposed to do. And when it came time for the flood, Noah and his family were saved. Hallelujah. It's worth the effort. Truth will cost you something. You want the Word of God to come alive in your spirit? You need oil. Oil is faith. Faith is something that you can sit and listen to sweet little gospel records all day long, all night long, and you will not establish faith in your spirit. But when you get under the anointed, preached Word of God, faith suddenly begins to well up in your spirit. Let anybody tell me when they come into this little church, they don't leave with more faith than they come in with. Because I'll tell you, you're a liar. Amen. Because where the anointing is, the oil is. Amen. The Word of God is in truth. That's what it means. Ruth had to work in Boaz's fields. Jacob had to work as an indentured servant for nearly 15 years before he was finally able to have the wife of his dreams. Even from the beginning of creation, Adam and Eve were given the job of tending the garden of God. Did you hear me now? Even from the beginning of creation, they were given a job. Because truth will cost you something. Nothing comes for free. Nothing comes easy. Oh, but listen, you all know one of the wonderful things. Adam and Eve weren't flesh and blood as we know flesh and blood when they first were created. So even though they had a job, that job made experiences with God even sweeter. Amen. When the cool of the day arrived, the Bible said God would come down and walk through the garden and he'd visit with Adam in the cool of the day. And they could so much more enjoy their walks with the Lord because they'd spent a day working. Do you hear me now? Amen. We enjoy our time off. We enjoy our vacations. We enjoy our holidays when we have worked diligently leading up to that time off. And we can't enjoy the good times nearly as much until we have been through the fire like the three Hebrew children or like Daniel in the lion's den. You can't appreciate good times unless, honey, God's been with you in some pretty bad times. When God's been with you in some pretty bad times, you learn to appreciate the good times. When you've worked your butt off all week and you thought you're about ready to drop dead from your job, and all of a sudden, whoo, I've heard Tommy do this 1,000 times. I forgot I requested that day off. Whoo, Lord, did I need that day off. What a perfect day for me to have off, because I've been about running myself nuts. I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. You see, because you appreciate the time off when you've worked during the time you weren't off. Hello now. There are people today that don't appreciate special times in the presence of God like they could. You know why? Because they don't spend no time working. Every day is a vacation for them. Amen. They don't have any oil in their lamp. They may tote the lamp around, but their lamp is empty, and the vessel sitting beside their lamp is also empty. I want you to know the question in the story that I read to you tonight is not race, intellect, or sexual orientation. But the question at hand is about wisdom. Do we have the wisdom enough to realize how important it is to regularly keep ourselves stocked up on faith?
which is the fuel that allows the Word of God to work in our lives, illuminating our path and showing us the way that we ought to go. The Word of God is not our oil, but rather it is our lamp. Faith is the oil. Faith fuels the lamp, causing the Word of God to work in our lives. When we live the Word, we become the lamps. That's why Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city that was built upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither doth a man light a candle and put it in a..." He said, honey, once God puts fire in your life, once God's put the Holy Ghost in your life, I expect you to keep oil there to keep it burning bright and shiny for the world to see. Glory to God. When we live the Word, we become the lamps. When we allow the faith that is in us to shine forth, we point others to the source of that light. The source of the light is the Word of God. But this time I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about the Word of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, that of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1. Talking when you live your life and you let the oil of faith work in your life so that the Word of God begins to manifest itself in your life and the two working together produce light. You point people to Jesus. Just your life. I'm going to close with this. I remember little sister Veneer Chambers at the at the Assemblies of God over there in Canton, Texas. Bless her heart. Little Holy Ghost filled lady, let me tell you, you want to talk about somebody that just tickle you to death to be in the presence of. This lady just would thrill your soul just to be around her. Here my brother Dallas was, what, my 12 at the time roughly? Something around there. And he would just so enjoy to be around Sister Chambers. And here she was, 86, 87, whatever it was. But you know, there was something in her that just shined. She had something in her that just illuminated. The Word of God was such a part of her life, but honey, it wasn't empty. There was something else that was in that Word that caused it to just shine from her. And it was faith. And her faith was real. And I remember that little lady, God bless her soul, 80-something years old, getting in her little car on Sunday and driving to church because she wasn't going to miss the house of God for all the money in the world. And when she had moved into a community up in Missouri somewhere with her husband that didn't have a church, a Pentecostal church, she said, "Well, I'm not a preacher. God never called me to preach." I don't know where she got that idea. Anyway, she said, "I'm not a preacher." She said, "But I figured, well, Lord, I could at least start a Sunday school." You see, Tommy, she wasn't going to just sit there and do nothing. She was going to do something. Truth will cost you something. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Honey, have oil in the lamp so the lamp shines, for heaven's sake. That's what be doers of the Word means. It means put faith in what you're reading, put faith in what you're hearing, and then put it into practice. That's what Sister Chambers did. Started her little Sunday school. Her little Sunday school, within a few years, had turned into over 200 people, adults included. She had to split them up in classes, just like big churches. They used, back then, you could use the schoolhouse without a problem. You know, nowadays, there are major legal problems would come from that. But back then, it wasn't a problem. And the people come and said, "Sister Chambers, be our pastor." They had worship services. And they'd shout and dance and the Holy Ghost would fall and people would receive the Holy Ghost. This is for a Sunday school. I said, "Sister Chambers, be our pastor." I'm going to tell you something. Anybody going to tell me, Sister Veneer Chambers, who I believe tonight is in the presence of Jesus, anybody going to tell me that little lady didn't live what she believed and believed what she lived? I'll call you a liar to your face.
because I know from personal experience that just being in her presence was a joy, because her light shined, because she didn't have an empty lamp. You know, the Bible talks in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about a horn with an uncertain sound. Somebody that's a blowhard, that they make a lot of noise, but they ain't really got no substance to their noise. And Paul was talking about somebody that claims to have religion, but they don't have love. Well, the same is true of somebody that claims to have God in their life, but they don't have faith. And if you claim you have faith, but you don't have the word of the church, and you don't have the fellowship of God's people as part of your life, then children, I got news for you. You're full of baloney. If you think that crap they're preaching out there on TBN is going to give you faith, you're wrong. Amen. The Bible said, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the custom of many, even more as you see the day approaching. It ain't about watching them on TV where they're millions of miles away and you're hearing the message. It's about getting yourself up and climbing up Sinai. It's about getting yourself up and climbing up the mountain. It's about climbing up Carmel. It's about putting forth the effort to do what you gotta do so that you can pay for truth. Amen. Amen. Tonight, the lamp is the word of God. The oil is our faith. God, help us to be faithful to your church. And help us to be faithful living your word, not just hearing it, but living it. So that we can be doers of the word and not hearers only. So that as your word proclaims, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God bless you tonight. Would you stand with me?